Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. Hope everybody had a good Pesach. Parshat Shmini. So let's start with number one on the sheet is from Rav Shuah. This is the eighth day of the Miluim of the consecration of the Mishkan. And the beginning of the Parsha goes into the celebration, particular korbanot, sacrifices that are brought, inauguration ceremony. And later on in the Parsha, we have story of the sons of Aharon who died. We're going to talk about that. And at the end of the Parsha, a good deal of the Parsha deals with the laws of kashrut, animals that we can eat and cannot eat, etc. So let's start with the first pasuk in the Parsha, actually, Vayi Bayom HaShmini. It was the eighth day. It was the eighth day of the Miluim, of the celebration. And Rashi comments, Shmini LaMiluim, Hu Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, about a month ago for us. Shehu Kam HaMishkan Bo Bayom. It was the same day that the Mishkan was established, was set up. And not only that, V'natal Asara Atarot HaShnuyot B'Seder Olam. There were actually 10 events that took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, on the first day of Nisan. And the Gemara brings, our oral tradition discusses them. Tana Oto Yom Natal Eser Atarot, Rishon L'Masa Bereshit, Rishon L'Nasim, etc. And one of them, Rashi explains, Rishon L'Masa Bereshit, She'echad B'Shabbat Haya. One of the great things that happened on this day was that it was Sunday. It was the first day of the week. And this is the something that is bothering Rabbi Schwab. And he asks the question, V'tzarach Iyun Godol. Godol Hamala Hazeh Ad She'nityaches Al Yado Atara Crown Liyom Rishon B'Shavuot. So really what the rabbis are telling us is that this particular day, the same day, you know, many times we have coincidental days in our lives, you know, and it's amazing that, you know, sometimes you see that a child and a parent are born on the same day, you know, you see these coincidences. So here you have 10 special things happen on the same day on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And one of them was that it was Sunday. So his question is obvious, what's so great about the fact that it was Sunday? What's significant about the fact that this took place, this inauguration ceremony took place on Sunday? The establishment of the Mishkan, of the Tabernacle. So he explains, he named, Kavanat HaBorei Barach Shemo B'Briat HaOlam. What was the intent of God in creating the world? Hayeta, it was, She'yiyeh Makom LaHashrat HaShchina B'Tachtoni. God wanted to bring down the holiness from Shemayim, from the upper world, into our world. He wanted to bring Kedusha into this world. And he, Ikar Shechina B'Tachtonim Hayeta Kivan Shechet Adam HaRishon Nistalka. You know, when there was Kedusha here, there was sanctity, but when Adam sinned, it was removed. And he quotes another medrash, Nitava Kodesh Baruch Hu Kishem Sheyesh Lo Dira L'Malo Sheyeh Lo Kach Dira L'Mata. God had a longing, Kaviyochel, as it were. We speak of God in such a way that just as he has a home, an abode, a holy abode above in Shemayim, he wanted a holy abode down below. Shekachu omer l'Adam HaRishon, and he told this to Adam HaRishon, Kivin she'amdu Yisrael, Amar lema Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo yatzatem mitzrayim ela al menat she'ta'asu li mishkan. You're going to come out of Egypt, I want you to build me a mishkan, a tabernacle. I want to have, that there should be a holy sanctuary here in this world. Right? Va'asharei shchinati b'nechem. And I will allow my Holy Spirit to dwell among you. V'alkein nitztavu livnot oel moed. So he commanded to build this oel moed, this holy tent. Dugmat seder b'riyat ha'olam. And it was kind of like the building of the oel moed was like the recreation of the world. Because remember, the whole world, as he pointed out from the Medrash, the whole purpose of the world that God created in 7 days was to bring holiness into the whole world. So now he wants us to bring that heavenly holiness into this world. So it's almost like recreating a world by creating the tabernacle. Yodea haya Bezalel letzaref otiyot, who was the master builder, we spoke about him in the past, was Bezalel. And he created it mystically. He took all the letters of the Aleph Beit, Shenivru ben Shemayim v'aretz, the letters of the Aleph Beit with which the world was created. God created the world by putting together, and mystically putting together the letters of the Aleph Beit, and he created the world. And Bezalel did the exact same thing when he built the tabernacle. Ubehitchonen ha-mishkan al mechona, and when the tabernacle was set in its place, v'yorda ha-shchina ladur lemata, and the heavenly spirit came down to dwell below, amad Moshe stood up v'horida milamala lemata, nitmale kavanat ma'aseh bereshit. So this was the sanctification of this holy place, was to bring God down, into the sanctuary. V'alzeh amru chazal, the rabbi say, shehayita simcha lefanav mimarom, God was full of joy in heaven, ki yom shenivru bo shamayim v'aretz, just like the day he created heaven and earth. Shemi'ap me'efes hamuchlat na'aseh olam u'mloa, from nothingness he created the world. And we, from nothingness, brought together the materials and Bezalel created the lower holiness. So that's, he says, Vizui kavanat rishon lama separation. That's why it had to be on a Sunday. Sheyom zeh natal ha'atara shel tchilat ma'aseh bereshit. This day had the crown of the first day of creation. Lefi shebahakamat ha'mishkan, by setting up the lower sanctuary in our world, Nishalma tachlit habriya. The purpose of the created world was fulfilled. That which was created began to be created on a Sunday, on the first Sunday in history, in the world history, was reenacted on this Sunday. Vahayoto yom rishon b'shavua, was the first day of the week, Sunday. Dugmat yom rishon shel briyat ha'olam, a copy of the original Yom Rishon. So he says that's the significance, that one of the 10 great crowns of this coincidental date is that it was a Sunday. We don't really know what a Sunday is in this country, right? We forget what Sunday was all about. Okay, so here we go. We have the real Sunday here in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the second piece is from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he talks about the tragic death of the two sons of Aaron, Vateitzei Esh Milifnei Hashem V'Tochal Otam V'Yamutu Lifnei Hashem. They came in to offer incense in the temple, and a fire came from the Mizbeach and killed them. Right? So, why did they die? So, the rabbis have a whole litany of what their crime was. So let's see what Rabbi Yaakov says about this. V'hinei, b'mitat b'nei Aharon, rabu hadeot. There are many opinions why the sons of Aaron were stricken with death. Mar Amar, one said, m'pnei shahoru halacha b'fnei rabba. They were paskin the shayla in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu and their father Aaron, their uncle Moshe, who was the god Lador. Umar Amar, shetui yayin hayu. They were intoxicated. Umar Amar Shekfar Nitchayvu B'Sinai. But really at Mount Sinai it was already decreed that they would die. Ela Shehimting. But God waited till now. Mipnei Shalola Arvei Veta Simcha. He didn't want to take away from the Simcha. Umar Amar Mipnei Shalola Nasu Nashim. And one opinion was that they never married. They chose to be celibate. Amru Achi Avinu Melech Achi Imenu Nasi Shevet. You know, all kinds of things they said. We are holy men. We should devote ourselves completely to the service of God. Mihu aroy lanu. Ulefichach lo kaimu pruurvu. So they didn't have children. I mean, who is fit? I mean, we're like, you know, we're special people. So who is fit to marry us? There's no one that's on a level to marry us. Now, we have to be careful here, because these were holy people. And they meant it. They really were holy people. So what's going on here? Umar Amar, another opinion. Mipnei shenichnesu shelo rechutzei yadayim raglayim. They went in without going to the mikveh. They went into the temple without cleansing their hands and their feet. Umar Amar Mibnei Shalom, not Lo Eitzazem Izeh. They didn't ask an opinion. Should they do this? No one asked them to offer this sacrifice that they offered, to burn this incense. Umar Amar, another opinion, Mibnei Shalomru, they said, Mata Yamutu Shnei Zekenim Halalu Va'ani Va'ata Nifarneset Hador. When are these two old men going to die? Our father and our uncle, Aaron and Moshe. Imagine. Then we will take over the generation. Now, all of this sounds horrible, right? Ulepele he lechur. He says, but here's the real wonder. Amai gavavu chazal chataim shonim umishunim likdoshim halal. How comes the rabbis piled high a whole list of inconsistency as in seemingly sins, missteps, one on top of the other, of these two people who were really very holy people? Sha'amar Moshe Rabbeinu Aleh, Moshe said, Bikrovaya Kadesh. God, you know, created holiness at this moment, you know, with their death. Umadu lo he speak lehem, ma shekatu b'mefurash b'Torah. It says in the Torah, very simply, why wasn't that enough? V'hikrivam eish tzara asher lo tziva otam. Their crime, according to the verse of the Torah, is that they offered up a sacrifice that they were not commanded to do. They were not commanded to offer up this incense. That, why wasn't that enough? V'hosifu chataim elu shenirmezu b'mikra. And they added one layers and layers of sins that are hinted. Umadua hinichu pshuto shel mikra. Why did they leave the simple text? Shelechura maspiku. It seems that's enough. They did something they weren't obligated to do. So he answers very beautifully. And his answer is that there is one common thread. There's one common thread of all of these inconsistent behaviors. Okay, and let's see what he says. V'hanira dechazal hukshelehem. The rabbis were troubled. Eich itakein be'emet. How is it really possible? Shekdoshim halalu avru. That these holy Jews actually sin. Kilomar, in other words, sha'asu shelo kedin. They went against the law, against the Torah. Bimkom Moshe va'Aaron. In the place of Moshe va'Aaron, you had Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, the high priest. And they went and disobeyed. They didn't. Okay, so in the second paragraph, he explains, where for those who just joined us, you see the sin of none of an Aviyu, they were killed tragically. The Torah says because they offered a korban that they were not commanded to offer. But the rabbis add a whole list of things that they did wrong. Why wasn't this enough? The Torah tells us what they did wrong. The Torah says that they paskin ashayla in the presence of Moshe and Aaron. They remained celibate. They refused to get married. They didn't think anyone was good enough for them. They were intoxicated. A whole list of things. So what's this all about? So Rabbi Yaakov says, he's going to say something very profound, actually. V'hanir dechazal huk shelehem eich itakein be'emet shekdoshim halalu avru. How is it conceivable that such holy people actually sinned at all? Kilomar sha'asu shelo kedin. Against the law, b'makom Moshe v'Aaron, in the presence of Moshe Aaron, v'al korchach perforce b'pnei shahoru halacha b'pnei rabban. They had to conclude. The rabbis concluded that they paskin the shaila. They decided an action in the presence of their teacher. Aval atayin eino miyushav. But that's not settled. We're not settled with that. Eich milam libam. What filled their heart? What were they thinking? Lahorot b'makom Moshe Rabbeinu. What were they thinking? Could you imagine if Moshe Rabbeinu was here? If Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was here, right? Would anyone dare paskin a shaila in the presence of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein? You have the Godel Ador sitting here, and you wouldn't think of it. Moshe Rabbeinu, and they go and they decide we're gonna go in and offer this fire. V'kan tafsu hashoresh shemimenu nitasef ha'isur hazeh nistaef ha'isur hazeh. We're looking now for the nekuda, what is the shorish of why they would do such a thing. And it will see that it will impact on all of the other statements that the rabbis made. Val kein, the ezes srach shel gasut haruach hayakan. You know what this was? This is gasus haruach, this was gaiva, this was arrogance. There was a certain arrogance on their part. And that really was their crime. crime of having not developed the humility and having the bad negative characteristic of arrogance. And we'll see. Ve'echi taken. So how is it possible? Shekadoshim ke'elu yichashlu b'zeh. So again, we ask, if that's the source, and we'll see how it's the source in a minute, but how could these holy people stoop to arrogance? Val korchach, we have to say, shelo hayta da'atam shlema hagat Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to say that they were not 100% settled with Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? V'lochas v'shalom ha'anhagash al Moshe v'Aaron kanu. It's not, God forbid, that they were jealous of Moshe and Aaron when they said, matai yamutu shnei agdolim ha'elu, when will these two die and we'll take over Klal Yisrael? What did they mean? El sh'amru aniva atan nefarnes at ador. We'll lead the Jewish people instead of Moshe Aaron. In other words, kolomar. We'll do a better job according to the Torah. The drinking wine before doing the service was not yet prohibited. It was only prohibited after this moment in the Parsha. A Kohen is not allowed to have a drink, make Kiddush before he duchens. Ubemet, truth be told, Yom Simcha Hulahem. It was a day of joy, rejoicing. Well, why couldn't they have a drink? Ki hayom nitchanchu b'kuhuna. This was the day that they became kohanim, so they had a right to have a l'chayim. What was wrong? V'ha b'yom chinuch osin anu sudat bar mitzvah. We always make a party for a dedication, a day of chinuch, when a child becomes a bar mitzvah. So here they're becoming the balei avoda. They're becoming the people who work in the Beis Hamikdash, so they're going to party. They drank a little bit. Lo shikurim, God forbid, were not drunk. El shtuyayin, they had a drink of wine. Aval hayilem lefachei, but they should have been fearful. Lishtot yayin biyom shein tzrichim lavor avoda. They should have known on their own accord not to drink wine on a day that they're going to do the service for Hashem. Val kein mipnei shehi gisu da'atam be'emat shchina. But they felt, you know, we're holy people. We're doing the right thing. We can be happy. It's not going to stare. It's not going to interfere with our ability to serve God. Ulefichach therefore bevadai gam besinai ochlu v'shasu b'shas b'shat v'yachazu es halokim. So they drank also when God appeared at Har Sinai. They also made a l'chayim, thinking that there's nothing wrong. Vulai lo nosu noshim, and why didn't they get married? Mishum prishut. They felt, you know, we want to abstain from the pleasures of this world. That was a holy motivation, but certainly not commanded by the Torah. Kidematsinu, you just go to the paragraph on the right, the Ben Azai. There was a rabbi in the Talmud, Ben Azai, that he didn't marry because he said, Nafshi chashka batorah. I am in love with the Torah. There's no room in my life for any other love. So Ben Azai was on a different level. Right? We don't paskin like that. No one is allowed to live that way. Everyone has to marry and have a family. That's the purpose of Torah, right? Is to populate the world and bring people into the world, right? And there are pleasures of the world that God wants us to enjoy. Aval Chazal, but the rabbis, Acharei Sheyordu L'Toch Tocham, when the rabbis saw the psychology of Nadav and Aviyu, Matzu Bekoret Bezeh. Shegam kan gorma gasut haruach. This was arrogance. This was gaiva. Behind the chol adam nimtzeit nekuda merkazi. Everybody has this. When people are inconsistent, you have to go to the source. This is why we go to a rofei nefesh, right? To a rofei nefesh. The Rambam says if someone has bad character traits, he should go to a rofei nefesh, to a rav. But a good rofei nefesh, right, psychologist, he will go deep into a person's character and see what the real problem is. It's not just that he does this or he does that, but where does it come from? Person is an angry man, a sad man, a depressed man. What's the source of his acting out in a certain way? So here, the rabbi said that it was this spiritual arrogance. They meant well, but they had no right to do. You know, they offered a sacrifice that they weren't asked to do. Now, if, on the one hand, you can say, well, what a wonderful thing. They wanted to sacrifice something to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They wanted to bring incense to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah, but he never asked you to do it. It's not part of the Torah. So you don't just do something because you think it's right, even though your intention right? Your intention is golden. Your intention is good. And their intention was good. Their intention not to marry was good. They wanted to be pure, devote their lives purely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their intention to drink wine was good. They wanted to celebrate the moment, right? But all of these things that they wanted to take over because they were convinced that they could do a better job of the new generation coming into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe and Aaron were from the old generation. We could do better for the new generation, right? So he says, "Hayne b'chol adam nimtzeit nekuda merkazit." Everybody has this central chip in our character. Shehi min yad kol chatei adam, and that's what causes us to be inconsistent. V'kav echad hu u'machriz alav kol michshalot adam. And if you can get to the root of and uproot that one trait, then you can change your whole personality. V'chein matzino harbe pamim shekein charzu chazal v'richzu kol chatei adam tachet kav echad. You see many times that the rabbis will speak about one particular inconsistency and it refers to many, many things. So that's what was going on here with the children of Aaron. Can we just wait till after? Okay, no, don't forget. Okay, number three. This is from Rav Nissen Alpert, the Limudei Nissan. And now we're going to talk about the kosher code, which takes up a large portion of Parsha Shemini. V'zot hachaya asher tochelu, this is the animal you can eat, and these are the animals you can't eat. And he points out an interesting thing here. HaMitzvah HaRishonah SheNitzdavu Adam HaRishon BeGan Eden. What was the first mitzvah that was given to Adam in the Garden of Eden? Right? Hayetah Mitzvat HaAchila. It was a mitzvah about eating food. Kidichtiv U'Bechol Eitz HaGan Achol Tochel U'Meitz HaDa'at Tovra Lo Tochal Mimenu. Right? Maybe we don't want to hear about this after Pesach, right? But this was the first commandment given to the world, brought into the world from God, was you can eat from any tree, but just don't eat from this tree. V'hamitzvah harishonah shenitztavu Aaron ubanav l'lamed b'nei Yisrael. After the inauguration in our parsha, and they became kohanim, they became priests. What is the first law that they were instructed to give over to the Jewish people? Amazing. Lamed bnei Yisrael, gam kein mitzvat achila, ma lechol ma lo lechol. Dabru el bnei Yisrael, lemor zot hachaya asher tochlu, etc. V'zeh lo tochlu. This is the first commandment that the Kohanim, the priests, were to give to the Jewish people in their new job, was the laws, the kosher code, what is permitted and what is forbidden. Right? V'alo davar. V'yesh lach kor, we have to understand, im efshar la'amod al tama davar. According to our limited capacity. We have to understand this. It's not by accident. Why was it the first mitzvah given to the world? Eating food. And why is it actually the first mitzvah now when we sanctify that physical act into kedusha, into holiness, into a mitzvah, it becomes the kosher code. Why is that the first mitzvah taught? Beautiful question. So he begins to answer in the next few paragraphs. Ubitfiloteinu ano omrim. When we daven, when we pray, we say mechalkel chayim bechesed. Right? We say it right at the beginning of the Shemona Esrei. Mechalkel chayim bechesed. God feeds life with chesed, with love. He feeds us, provides food with chesed. Right? Mechaye meitim berachamim rabim. He revives the dead with great mercy. Mechaye, 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 v'kalkala, hushva l'tchiyat hameitim. In one breath, the statement in Tefillah puts together tchiyas hameisim, the revival of the dead, which will happen b'mos HaMashiach, the revival of the dead, and feeding living human beings. What's that all about? What's that all about? Hamita hi lo rak chad ofanit v'chad regait. Death is not just, he says, very profound. Death is not just a one moment in time of a person's end of life. Merosh u'mitchila hizharnu Hashem ki b'yom achal chamimenu mot tamun. On the day that you eat from this, you're going to die. What does that mean? Mitot harbei, many deaths. What does he mean? He's making a philosophical point. Sheken kol yom, shah v'rega, every day, every hour, every minute, haholchim kemetim hema. People are dying, right? When a person gets older, right? It's a pretty sobering thought. Sha'arei chayei adam nitnu lo b'katzav u'b'midah. A person's life is measured. We don't live forever. Nobody lives forever. We're all going to live for 120 years. But 120 years is not forever. V'kol yom shechayu yom shemei. Every day that we live, you know, we wake up in the morning. It's another thing that's bothering me. On this side, yesterday it was the left side. Now it's the right side, right? We get older, right? He says, that's what he says here. He says, af shelo yargish adam. Person doesn't feel, we don't chas v'shalom that he's dying. V'lo yirah be'enav et hashinu. He doesn't see it. She mitaveh be'everav, which happens to his bones, and beguf on his body, b'chol rega, hacholefet, as time marches on. Hazman over, marshin begufo, she'en odom me'el, mi she'yesh lo koach, hachayot, hachiyut, shel 80 shana, mi she'yesh lo rak koach, hachiyut, shel 30 shana. Right, a 30-year-old feels differently than an 80-year-old, right? Just, it's a fact of life. U'ki'ilu rov chiyuto, nital mimena. Rak, keshir zman rav, shnatayim, or shlosh, 2 years, 3 years. So even after a while, you begin to see, you know, Hashinui shemitaveh mipnei adam uveveorawi, you know, shemipnei kematim umitaveh umitkashev, we start aches and pains, whatever, I don't want to go into this, this is a little depressing. Ubechol rega verega mitnaveh v'oled. So, you know, the body weakens as time goes on. El she'enu nikar ad she'yavor zman rav. We don't feel it until after a long, many years, a long period of time. Now he says, but here's the catch. U'beli achila, but if a person wouldn't eat, mitnaveh ha'adam b'zman katzar, we'd feel it very quickly. We'd feel our age very quickly. Na'aseh le'en onin, tash kocho mimenu, we'd lose our strength. Ke'ariyato, our eyesight would be weak. Da'ato mit babelet, we'd have a headache, we couldn't think straight. Adam enu dofek roi, the blood wouldn't flow properly, etc., etc. Umahi ha'tchiyat ha'metim shelo. So what is the tchiyat ha'metim of us? There is such a thing, literally, of tchiyat ha'metim, revival of the dead. Since we're all on that road, there's something that revives us. Hamazon, food. Shu ochel. When you eat, think about after a fast, after Yom Kippur, how your strength comes back to you, your color comes back to you, you feel strong again. It's tchiyat ha-meitim. It's a revival of the dead. When one is, his whole emotional well-being is restored. He's besimcha. When one is fasting, we're not besimcha. That's the whole idea of a fast. When we eat, we're besimcha v'chedvat achayim, and we're happy to be alive. U'betzedek amu rabotenu beruach kodesham. And the rabbis were right when they said, mechalkel chayim b'chesed, mechayei meitim b'rachamim rabim. He's talking about us. That God fills life with food and revives the dead. He's talking about us. That's what food does for us. Mezono shel adam, when a person eats, v'chein shel kol balei chayim, or for animals for that matter, hu hakli shemechalkel lo meretz v'ratzon, it gives him energy, it energizes him. Kidei amar hakatuv, poteach et yadecha, we say to God, poteach et yadecha, open up your hand, u'masbi l'chol chay ratzon, and feed the whole world. Ubelaz mazon hu yitzirat hameretz v'haratzon, and he writes energy. It gives us the energy, energia, as we say in Hebrew. It's not really Hebrew, but it's what we say, right? And in his concluding paragraph, he says, v'yesh lishtamesh be'energia, be'energy, lalechet, you need energy to walk, l'roots, to run, l'tzorach hashmal, you need energy for electricity, l'hasi et harakevet, for the trains, et aviron, the airplanes, od v'od, etc., etc., l'chom, l'chosh, we'll go to war, militarily we need energy. Shahameretz hu davar nitrali, neutrally. It's a neutral thing, energy. V'yesh lishtamesh l'chol minei tzrachim l'chaim u'lamavet. And energy can be used for good and can be used for bad. L'yetzer ha-tov l'yetzer ha-ra, for our good inclination and our bad inclination. Shemibli meretz, without energy, yef shalasar plum, you can't do anything. If a person is weak, I can't move, I can't do anything productive with my life. Shaz hari kemet, He's like he's not alive. V'hakol talei b'rotzen u'b'meretz. Everything depends on being energized, and what gives us that energy is food. U'lefichach merosh u'mitchila nachutz la'adam l'darvein et ha'machshir l'ritzono u'meratzo l'nishmato u'lishipur u'pituach et kochot ha'adam, etc., etc. The first thing that man has to know is he has to energize himself. The first mitzvah Adam and Eve were given was the mitzvah to eat food. Because you cannot do anything meaningful without being energized. That's the nature of our limited being, human beings. And on a spiritual level, once the Torah is being given, it is the first mitzvah that the Kohanim give the Jewish people. Because we need that in order to do all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, you need the kosher code. You need kashrut. You need to know what to eat and what not to eat. Because, truth be told, eating the wrong things gives us a negative energy. As we're going to see now in our last piece in number 4. This is from the Kli Yakar. And it is a masterpiece. The Kli Yakar was a Talmud, a student of the Maral Prague. And in the old Mikros Gedolot, you could hardly read the Kli Yakar. Now in the newly printed Mikros Gedolot, you can read it. And it's a masterful comment, he says. So you know there are simanim, there are signs for kosher animals and non-kosher animals, right? What are the signs of a kosher animal? It chews its cud, right? And what else? Split hooves, right? It has to have both of these signs. If it has one of these signs or another, but not the other, it is not a kosher animal, right? So listen carefully to what this Kli Yakar says. It's brilliant. The Pasuk says, et hagamal, you cannot eat a gamal. So now that we know the two kosher signs, right? Can you eat a camel meat, right? Et hagamal, no. Why? Ki mala geirahu, because it meaning what? It chews its cud, right? It chews its cud, but... So Rashi says, so he quotes it, here, now let's read the Kli Yakar. Hailo lomar, the Torah should really say, ki parsa einenu mafris. You should say, you can't eat the camel because its hoof is not split. Why does it say you cannot eat the camel? Because it only has chewing its cud. But that's a good sign, right? Why doesn't he say, you can't eat the camel because it doesn't have split hooves? Why does he say it, you cannot eat the camel because it chews its cud and it doesn't have split hooves? What's going on here? Shezei yikar tam shalatoma v'chein b'shafan v'arnevet, rabbit. You have the same thing. U'b'chazir, and with the pig. Amar, what does the Torah say? You cannot eat the pig. Ki mafris parsahu, because it has split hooves, but it doesn't chew its cud. Right? Skip it. Hayelo lomar, the Torah should have simply said, you can't eat the pinky eno mala gamer because it doesn't chew its cud. V'lama yitchil kulam b'simen tahara shalem. Why does the Torah mention its kosher sign and then mention its treif sign? You hear the question? You hear the question? The Kli Yakar, it's brilliant. Brilliant in its simplicity. Torah's listing the non-kosher animals. We know the two simonim. It has to chew its cud. It has to have split hooves. So he lists all of them by saying, for example, the cow, you cannot eat the pig because it chews its cud. It doesn't chew its cud, rather, but it has split hooves, right? Very confusing, right? So b'yorayin zeh, let me tell you, what's the simen taharasha v'kulam? Mosif tuma tuma, kiderech sha'amru be'esa. I'll tell you, let me put it in my words. Tuma, impurity, treif, is when there's mixed messages. That's the tumah, the mixed signals. When something good is destroyed by being mingled with something bad, that's what's treif. That's what the tarfus is. That's what the Kli Yakar is saying. The pig is treif not simply because it doesn't chew its cud, but because it is an animal that has a kosher sign, it has split hooves, and it chews its cud. That's treif. In our lives, that's treif. Not to be consistent, the inconsistency of purity with impurity, that is what is considered treif. And that's what he goes on to explain. For like we say by Esav, he says, Shenim shal l'chazir. Esav was compared to a chazir, sheposhet tlafav l'harot ki'ilu kosher, harei ani kosher. You know, Harani Tahor, right? Asaf, you know, like a pig who sticks up his feet and shows that they're split hooves, right? V'tocho male tocho umirma. But inside he was full of sin. V'zeh morel kol mi she'en tocho kaparo. Anybody who's not consistent, that's what we're talking about. Inconsistency, that's what's traitor. To be inconsistency. The rabbis say that we should be tocho kibaro. Our inside should be like our outside. Ben midat hatzvuim hamariim et atzmam ksherim vehema belisa fe geruim in a Russia hagomor. And this is worse than a Russia. A Russia, a guy who's completely evil, we know where he stands. But someone, we don't know where, you know, he comes to shul, he davens, he shuckles, but then he goes out and he cheats. And he charges interest and all kinds of things, right? That's what we're talking about here. The inconsistency. That's what's true. Kimosha Pirush Rashi al Pasuk velo yachlu ledabro l'shalom. Al Kain hafrasas parsa b'chazir. Therefore, the split hoof of the pig, hu siman tuma. It's a sign of tuma. Lefisha b'parsa zu hu yachol lahatot habrit. He can fool the world. Ulaharot ki ilu kasher, and he can pretend to be kosher. V'chein behefech zehagamal by the camel, v'shefen v'arnava v'arnevet and the rabbit. V'aval pisha kol midot elu einan shayechim bebehemot. Even though animals don't have to be consistent and inconsistent, but God created the world this way to teach us what consistency, how we're supposed to live our lives, and not to have these mixed signals in our persona. Mikol makom hei molidim tchuna ra. Listen, this is a mouthful, he's saying. He says, even though animals don't have this, but if you eat them, if you eat an inconsistent animal, he's saying, this is a very Kabbalistic idea, he's saying. Mikol makom hei molidim tchuna ra'a zu beguf ha'ochla. A body that eats a non-kosher animal because he's eating, he's taking in this inconsistency, can affect his behavior. And eating non-kosher food, is what he's saying, can create a non-kosher physical being in his attitude. Ki kol ochlam ya'ashmu. We are affected by what we eat. We are what we eat. Liyot min kochot kitot hatzvuyim hamarim et atzman kisarim kamo Esav v'chaverov, like Esav, who attempted to create this delusion. Turn it off and we'll have questions. Okay.